Isn't that what we're taught, to be optimistic, not to look at the negative, but to look at the positive? That's the society that we're in today. One sheep out of 100 is kind of an acceptable loss. We don't expect to reach 100%. And then later in this passage, when he talks about the lady who has the 10 coins, she loses one. You know, that's 10%. A 10% loss, that's okay. That's manageable, no big deal. When you think about it, our whole lives are based on an acceptable percentage of failure. Every year we start a school year knowing and understanding that there is that not everyone's going to graduate. We have an acceptable level of dropouts that we are willing to accept, to excuse as being okay. Marriages start out with a predictable rate of divorce. We understand that not every marriage will make it, and we've kind of gotten okay with that. We're happy when the unemployment rate is below a certain percentage. We understand not everybody's going to have a job, and we're okay with that as well. And it's sad to say, not every newborn baby will live. Not everyone grows to be old. And we, even as a society, have kind of gotten callous to that. That's okay. We understand. We accept it. So you get the point. You understand what I'm trying to say this morning. As far as we're concerned, losing only one sheep out of 100 is not so bad. Losing one coin of 10 is an acceptable. One person, you're not going to get them all. We're not going to track 100%. So what does a lost sheep and a lost coin and a lost boy really have in common? The reality is they're all lost, and they all matter. They all matter to Christ, and they should matter to us. I want you to consider three statements this morning. First of all, think about it. One matters because they're one of us. I don't know if it would matter to you, but if you were one of the 99 sheep, and if it was one of your brothers, if it was one of your sisters, if it was your mom, if it was your dad, that one being lost all of a sudden would matter. And that one matters because they're one of us. Why leave the 99 just to find one? Because one is part of the group, okay? One is no less value than the whole group. Without the ones, you cannot have 100. Without the one, you can't have 99. Without another one, you can't have 98. You see, the reason our groups are getting smaller is because we think one doesn't really matter. William Barclay tells a little story in his commentary on this. He says there was a young doctor who was backpacking across Europe, and he traveled for several weeks, and much of the way it was by foot, so that from the outward appearance, he looked like a bum. He was dirty, and he was downtrodden and all that, and he hadn't shaved, and his hair was long, and he mattered, and his clothes were dirty and worn and all those kind of things, and for some reason, he became seriously ill. And so there was a couple of strangers there that saw him, found him laying kind of half unconscious from the journey. And they got him to a hospital. And there the hospital, the doctors examined him, and they shook their heads. And one looked to the other and whispered. He says, "What a worthless old bloke. We'd do him a favor to let him die." And the young doctor overheard them, and he looked up, and he also replied in this same language, and he says, "Never call a man worthless whom Christ has died." You see, by the outward appearance of a man, we might evaluate them and think, well, you know what? This old guy got himself in this situation. He deserves to be in this situation because of the choices that he's made, and we ought to just let him go his own way. So often we give up too easily. When others fall through the cracks, we're quick to write them off. Well, you can't win them all. God's like the good shepherd who has a flock of 100 sheep who, losing just one of them, will leave the others and go after the one that is lost until he finds it. Here's what Ezekiel writes in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 12. "As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they are scattered on a cloudy and dark day." I'm grateful this morning that we have a good and faithful shepherd who seeks us out. You see, with God, we live in a community with each other. And so to talk about being lost is really to talk about being separated from one another. That lost person, that individual that's not in right relationship with God, not only are they separated from God, but they're separated from us. If we're not in right relationship with God, we'll never be in right relationship with one another. And so those who are not in right relationship with God are people that we're struggling with in our relationship. And so we need to be in right relationship with them. And we can only be in that right relationship when we're all in right relationship with God. And so being lost has to do with our connection to each other. We're interrelated. So that to talk about one who is lost at the same time to talk about the effect one is on each other. So like the man who said in the wake of his wife's death, he said, "It's not only that I've lost her, but I'm lost without her." It's not just the fact that we have friends and family members that are lost. We're lost. The church is lost. We're lost individually without them. We need one another. I was thinking about this, and I remember when I was growing up, and a few years ago, when we had the little paper milk cartons, on the side of the milk carton, they had pictures of children that had been lost. But they had their story, and they had their date when they had went missing. And it was a reminder every morning when people would get up to have their milk, to eat their breakfast. It was a reminder that, hey, there's people out there that are lost. And you know, we look at those pictures, and I never knew any of them. I'd never met any of them. I never saw anybody that was from my town. And so those names and those faces were somewhat meaningless to me. But I know now, for the mom and the dad and the brothers and the sisters and the grandmothers and the grandfathers, that name and that face were important to them. And I know for that child that was lost, it was important that they be found. Hey, listen, we have to admit today, right? One family member is no less valued than another. I mean, it doesn't matter how big your family is, right? You could have 10 kids, and if you lose one, it still breaks your heart, right? No parent in their right mind would say, "Well, yeah, we got other kids, it'll be okay." No. Listen, the lost one matters because they're one of us. But then secondly, one matters because they are of value. One matters because they are of value, great value. Look what it says here in verses 8. It says, "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Jesus was teaching the value of man. In the Lord's day, human life had sunk to little value. And I'm telling you, we're living in such days today as well, right? Where we have little value for life. But we need to understand that one matters because they are of great value. In Jesus' day, men were fed to the lions in coliseums for entertainment. Slavery, in its worst form, flourished during biblical times. Scribes and Pharisees thought publicans less value even than a sheep. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." It levels the playing field. And it says that we are all of great value to Christ. In James chapter 2 and verse 5, he says, "Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him?" Again, we see the Bible placing emphasis on the individual, the value of an individual. In the Greek culture, a drachma, it was a Greek silver coin, and it's used here in the New Testament. It equaled a day's wages. The point would have been clear to those that Jesus was speaking to. What he would have been saying is the sinners with whom he was associating with were extremely valuable to God. They were worth a day's wages. I read an article a couple of years ago in Life Science. And it was an article about putting the price on human life. Now that might sound kind of callous to us this morning. But in reality, we've placed a value on human life. Listen, I can prove this. It's a scientific fact that we have placed a dollar value on human life. According to this article, and according to a study that John Mueller put out at University, he says that as the world operates, we operate based on a value system, and we place those values on human life. He said, in the United States, the value of a statistical life turns out to be somewhere around $5 million. I don't know how much money you've got in the bank. I don't know how many assets you have. But according to this study, in the United States, the government has put a value on your life of somewhere around $5 million. And the way that they exercise that is this. According to safety codes, let's say for an example, there was an area where there might be a catastrophic disaster. And they could build a wall, or they could build flood walls, they could build protections there that would protect human life. Well, they would calculate how many human lives it would protect, and then they would estimate how much it would take to build the protection for those human lives. And if the cost of building the protection was greater than the value of those lives, they would decide not to build the protection. That's astonishing, isn't it? That our minds operate like that. Think about it. If you object to this, here's even further proof. What value do we place on human life? What effort are we willing to put into saving lost people? It's proven that we could save lives if we just slowed down. In fact, if you want to wipe out automobile deaths in America, we could lower the speed limit to about 15 miles an hour. If everybody would drive about 15 miles an hour, we could reduce traffic deaths probably by 99%. But we're not willing to do that, right? So therefore, we have exercised of placing a value on human lives. In Adam Clark's commentary on this passage, he points out that the longer the coin is lost, the less likely it is to be found. Hence, there is this urgency in searching for it. But too often in our lives, the longer they're lost, the more we give up. But here, the Bible points out that the longer they're lost, the greater the urgency should be to find them. This lady went to great lengths to find. She lit candles. She cleaned the house. She swept the floors. Nothing else could have been done. Even for a very costly coin, she put everything that she could do to find that coin. The question confronts us this morning. What are we willing to sacrifice? How much time, how much energy, how much effort are we willing to put forth so that lost people can come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? You see, one matters because they're one of us. And one matters because they are of great, great value. But then, thirdly, one matters no matter what. Just simply, one matters. Notice what it says in verse 11 in the parable of the lost son. And then he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. And when he had spent all there, arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine, pigs. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose, and he came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son told him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" But, listen to the father's response. "But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to be merry." One matters, no matter what they've done. One matters. You see, in those days, it was not uncommon for a son to ask for his inheritance and to leave home. Today, children leave home every day for very honorable reasons. Some leave home to go to college. Some leave home to go learn a trade. Some leave home to get married. Listen, I'm trying to tell you this morning, there is absolutely nothing wrong with children leaving home. I hope children that are listening this morning will hear me. There is nothing wrong with you honorably leaving home. Leave home. It's okay, right? Some parents are saying, "Yes, leave, go," right? No, there's nothing wrong with leaving home honorably. The problem is when they leave home for the wrong reason. And this son left home to be his own master. He thought that true life could be found in the pleasure-seeking and chasing youthful lust. And the father allows his son to exercise his own free will. And this boy was lost because of his own conscious decisions. Listen to me, friend, this morning. God allows each and every one of us to exercise our own free will. And many of us choose in our own free will to live contrary to the things of God. And because we choose to live contrary to the things of God, we live a separated life. Think about it. This young boy was a Jew. The Jews thought that pigs were the most vilest of all the animals. They would have absolutely nothing to do with the pig. And now this man is in a pigsty, and he is feeding the pigs, and what he is feeding the pig looks to be desirable to him. Not in his right mind would he have thought those things. Not in his right mind would he have gone to work in a pig farm. Not in his right mind would he have lowered himself to feed pigs. Not in his right mind would he have desired to eat the things that pigs are eating. It's when we're not in our right minds that we choose to do things that are contrary to the things of God. But yet, this young man finds himself there. And this young man comes to a day of reckoning when he realizes that even the servants in his own father's house have it better than him. And that he could go home not to be a son, but to be a servant. And I love this picture that when this son goes home, there's the father waiting for him. No matter what wrong the child has done, no matter how long the child has been wayward, no matter how deep he has fallen into foolishness and sin, the father is there waiting. Seems as though the father's been looking every day. And when he sees the son afar off, the Bible says that the father ran to him. And he embraces him. Listen, no matter how wrong this child had been, the father loves him unconditionally and the father forgives him. And that's the great message this morning. You matter no matter what. Jesus might say, well, preacher, you don't know me. You don't know how vile I am. You don't know how far I've fallen. I don't. But I know the Father. And the Father says in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all and any unrighteousness. You can't fall too far for God to forgive you. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. Again, the Bible says in Titus, or in Luke chapter 15, here in verse 7, He says, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. You see, we get it focused on that 99. God says, I'm focused on the one. And that one matters this morning. That one matters this morning because they're one of us. Paul reminds us in Romans. He says there are those who are living these ungodly lifestyles and have these ungodly thoughts. And he says, which were some of you, or which you were. That is that every one of us have been lost. Every one of us have been in need of a Savior. And so before we point our finger at the one and say, you know what, they're lost because they want to be lost, we need to think about ourselves. We were lost because we wanted to be lost. And it was only because of the unconditional love and grace and mercy and forgiveness of God that we've come to the saving knowledge of Christ Jesus. We need to understand that one matters because they're one of us. And that one matters because they are of great value. That they're of great value. In fact, they're of such great value that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That one matters because they're one of us. We've all been there. That one matters because they're of great value. They're of such great value to God that He's willing to give up His rich red royal blood for their salvation. And that one matters no matter what. Man, it's easy for us to judge. Man, we look up and down the socioeconomic ladder and we determine who deserves and who doesn't deserve. But listen, no matter what, God loves. God's willing to forgive. God's willing to have a relationship. The lost matters. That one matters. Friend, I want you to understand this morning, you matter. You matter this morning. You see, hell desires to destroy the one. God desires to deliver the one. No matter who you are, no matter where you are, no matter how far from God you are this morning, God wants you to know that He loves you, that you matter, that you're of great value, no matter what. You may say, preacher, that sounds good for you. But God, preacher, I just don't know if that's really what God's purpose and God's plan for me. Listen, I want you to know this morning, God loves you more than you could ever imagine. I want to invite you this morning, wherever you're at, just to humble yourself right now and say, God, this morning, I feel so lost and I feel so alone. But God, that preacher this morning said that I matter. That preacher says that I'm of value. That preacher says that no matter what, You love me and You're willing to forgive me. And this morning I pray that God's Holy Spirit would just confirm in your heart and in your mind this morning that He acknowledges exactly where you're at and who you are this morning. And that you would feel His presence and that you would feel His unconditional and love and grace and mercy and forgiveness this morning. Would you just simply this morning cry out to Him to say, God, this morning, though I live in a world that no one seems to think that I matter, God, I'm grateful this morning that I matter to You. I would love for you this morning to just share with us. You can private message us. You can message us in the comments. You can call us. I would love to be able to share with you. And I would love for you to be able to share with us how God has revealed Himself to you today in a very special way. Again, this morning's a little different. But yet this morning, God is the same. God's love for you today is the same, no matter what. God's willing this morning to forgive you of your sins, to be in a personal, intimate love relationship with you, if you would just simply trust Him today. Would you cry out to Him this morning? I want to pray for you today. And I want to pray that today God would change all of your tomorrows and that you would know that you matter, that you're of value no matter what. Let me pray this morning. Father God, this morning we love You. God, we're thankful for the morning. And God, we're thankful for the truth of Your Word. God, that we are all of great value to You, no matter what, no matter who we are. God, that You love us. God, that You love us unconditionally. And God, You desire to have an intimate, personal love relationship with us. So God, this morning, I pray, God, for those that have been watching, those that have been listening, I pray, God, that they've heard Your voice. God, that they've sensed Your presence. And God, this morning, that they might know You as their Lord and Savior. God, I pray that, God, as we go through the week, that, God, as we have conversations with individuals, God, that we would see through Your eyes. God, that we would see individuals. And God, that our hearts would break for them. God, that our hearts would have compassion. God, that we would see people. And God, that they would matter to us. Because except for the grace of God, there goes I. God, that we would see people. And God, that we would recognize they are of great value. And God, that when we see people, no matter what state they're in, God, we would know. And God, that we would share Your love for them, no matter what. So God, today, I thank You for Your Word. And God, I pray that Your Word penetrate into our hearts and into our lives. God, that we be transformed. And God, that we bring transformation into those that we have relationships with. So Father, we love You. We give You all the praise and glory and honor. And we ask You all this in Christ's name. Amen. Hey, I want to just thank you for tuning in today. I want to thank you for watching and listening today. I pray that God blesses you richly. I pray that you have a great rest of the week. For those that are out there that are struggling and sick, I pray that God will just touch and heal. And I pray that God restore. And we look forward to being back together next Sunday morning. Stay safe this week. God bless you. Share the love of Christ to those around you today. And pray for your one. That God would use you to be His hands and feet, to show to them that they are of value, that they matter, no matter what. Thank you.